Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Ted Amud Bet. The Gemara is trying to determine who is the author of our Mishnah. Mishnah has a position that we differentiate between Neder and Nidava. By Nidrei Ksherim, we say that it has no impact because Nidarim are not taken by Ksherim. On the other hand, if you use a Lashon of Nidvotam, of Nidava, then it would take hold because Ksherim do engage in Nidavot. We're searching for the author of the Mishnah and we ran into a problem with a machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says that nidarim, period, are no good. We'd prefer you don't take any nidarim. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you could take a neder as long as you fulfill the neder. Neither of those will fit into our Mishnah, because Rabbi Meir makes a blanket statement, no nidarim, as opposed to our Mishnah, which differentiates between neder and nidava. And Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, doesn't fit our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda says that Ksherim would take nidarim and fulfill them. So yesterday, we spent time on explaining the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir, and saying even within Rabbi Meir's position, we would distinguish between a neder and a nidava. Even Rabbi Meir would agree that a nidava would work as a proper way to engage, and that would be better than not taking a neder at all. Today, we're going to explore v'ibay teima afilu teima Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda can be the author of the Mishnah. Ki amar Rabbi Yehuda b'nidava. When Rabbi Yehuda says that Tov, the best thing is the person who is Noderu Mishalem, that is when you're talking about a Nidava. B'neder lo amar. But he did not say it about a straight up Neder. V'haktani. Doesn't he say in the Brayta that we quoted yesterday, Tov mizeh mizeh Noderu Mikayim, that the best thing is a person who takes a Neder and is Mikayim the Neder. So it sounds like taking a Neder, not talking about Nidava. Tnei, no Dave. Yeah. Replace the word no there with no Dave, umikayim, and that is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that will have implications for Rabbi Meir, which is once you explain Rabbi Yehuda that way, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Vaz great, there is no good, then when Rabbi Meir comes along and says don't, he means don't take, even take a Nidava, which means that Rabbi Meir now is back to what we thought in the original position, which is that blanket statement that you can't take a neder or a nidava, and you have to explain that Rabbi Meir is against nidavot, which the way we explained it yesterday is Api Hillel HaZaken, who used to only bring up the korban and be makdishit right before he went into be shochet and smicha and all the things that he did with it. You'd have to explain that Rabbi Meir still felt that there was risk in that, risk of mi'ilah in that instance, because there's still time in which you can run yourself into a problem, or that Rabbi Meir still thinks that there's a problem of being mitcharet, or not carrying out the action that one intends, and therefore, maybe nidavot would also still be problematic. So then the Gemara says, Maishno nuder delo, what's the problem with a neder? Dema atid ba'li de takala. Same reason that we gave yesterday, because you might run into a problem. As we explained yesterday, that's a problem of Baal Te'acher. Nidava nami dilme ati bah lidei takala. By nidava, you could say the same thing. You might run into a takala. And yesterday we saw the difference of opinions with regards to what takala we were speaking about. Whether we're speaking about Baal Te'acher, according to the Ran, or according to Rashi and the Rosh, possibly the problem of Giza, Boda, Me'ilo, that could come about by a nidava. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda's l'shitato, tamar adam mevi kivsato la'azara, umakdisha, person brings his animal to the mikdash and his mikdashit, v'somecheled asmicha v'shochata, and then he shechs it. So again, Rabbi Yehuda has a similar opinion, or view, of what Hillel HaZaken did, which is that you only bring it up to the azara and umakdishit at that point, so you avoid the problem of takala. Either if it's mi'ilah, because you're so close to the point where you're going to put the korban on the mizbeach, there's very little time for mi'ilah, or from the problem of Baal Te'acher, you're not makdishit till you get there, so you don't run into Baal Te'acher. By the time you're makdishit, you're ready to do the action at that point. Right, so Gemara says again, tinach nidava de korbanot. That works well when you're talking about voluntary korbanot. I just note here that Rabbi Yehuda, when he says kivsato, that is a female animal. And by nidava, that's only applicable to a shlamim and not to an ola. Because an ola, you can only bring a male version. So Rabbi Yehuda's statement is made about shlamim. and Shlamim don't have any Mi'ilah that would create a Takalah. So Tosafot says that even though there's no Mi'ilah by Shlamim, there still is an Isur De'oraita to benefit from the Shlamim, and that would be the Takalah that's associated over here. Or you'd have to say that he would say the same thing about an Olah. So now Tinach Nidavah the Korbanot, like yesterday, that works well when you're talking about Nidavah and Korbanot. We can easily distinguish between Neder, which obligates the individual, and Nidavah, which puts the Beima into play. So you wait to put the Beima as something that's Kodesh. But Nidavah the Nizirut, Ma'ika the Meimar. The guards of Nizirut, how you distinguish between a Neder and a Nidavah. So we saw that in Rabbi Meir's Shita yesterday, that he subscribed, at least according to the Gemara, to Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, who says there are different types of Nizirut. There is a Nizirut where we think very positively of the Nizirut, and there's a Nizirut where we don't think so positively of the Nizirut. That was the Ran's definition or distinction between Neder and Nedava, which is how sincere was the intentions of the individual. Rabbi Yehuda Letameh, Rabbi Yehuda is the Shitato, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chasidim HaRishonim, Hayu mit avim avi korban chatat. That the early Chasidim really wanted to bring a korban chatat. The fi, Shena Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe tekalah yedehem. But they never trip up. And since they never trip up, they never have the opportunity to bring a chatat. And a chatat is one of those korbanot that's not brought on a voluntary basis. So how do they get themselves to engage and bring a chatat? Mayosim, omdim umitnadvim nizirut umakom. They used to dedicate the Nizirut, meaning making themselves into Nazir. They should chayev Korban Chatat Makom in order to engage in a Korban Chatat, because the Nazir at the end of his Nizirut brings an Olah Shlamim and a Chatat. That Chatat is what they were after. So that's a Chatat, even that's not really brought necessarily on the Chait. We'll see in a second about that, but not brought on a Chait necessarily, but they wanted to bring the Korban. So how do they get to a Chatat Nidava? Korban Chatat, that is brought bin Nidava. They do that by engaging in a Nizirut. So here's your case of Nidava that you're looking for, called a Nizirut bin Nidava. What exactly they were after over here in terms of they had a Chatat that they wanted to engage in, what exactly was their Ta'ava? So they, Rosh writes over here, Hey, ayu mitavim lavi chatat, shlo yeh korban ne'edar mehem. They wanted to bat for the cycle. Basically, they wanted to get everything in, so they wanted to get a chatat. If they need a chatat, that was their missing korban, so the only way to do it is to get through a nizirut. So that's how they did it. They accessed it through nizirut. Seems like a very simple-minded view of it, but that's what the Rosh says, that they wanted to get every type of korban in, and this was the way for them to do that. On the other hand, Rashi says over here, l'fishein ha-kodesh baruch hu mevi takalal yedem. Kolmar shehem mityarim shlo yasu shum chait. They think they're not going to do any chait. V'rotzim levi korban lehit kaper alehem. But they still want kapara. So they don't get the trigger that allows them to bring a chatat, but they still want the kapara. Now, if you don't do any chait, why do you want kapara? The fi shein hakodesh baruch hu mevi takala yedehem. Because what they feel is that Hashem is protecting them. The reason they're not sinning is because Hashem is protecting them from tripping or doing something wrong. That doesn't mean they don't need the kapara, just means that Hashem is intervening on their behalf, preventing them from sinning. But maybe if Hashem didn't act on their behalf or didn't intervene, they would do the chait. So they still believe they need a certain amount of kapara. So how do they access that kapara to bring the chatat? Mayusim, kadesh yidchavu korban. So therefore, what do? They engage in the neder nizirut. So that's another version of what this idea of the Rosh talks about, just getting all the korbanot in. Rashi here talks about a sincere feeling of needing kapara. And in order to gain that kapara, one has to bring a chatat. But they don't have access to a chatat because Hashem is blocking their ability to get to a chatat in a positive sense. But still, they want to attain kapara. Or you could argue that the chatat brings a certain type of kapara that's not available through other korbanot, and they want access to that kapara. They want to engage in that kapara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, Lo nadru binazir ela harutze lavi ola mitnadev umevi. Shlamim mitnadev umevi. Toda If you want to bring korbanot, you voluntarily bring the korbanot. You're makdish them. You want to bring a shlamim, go ahead. You want to bring an olah, go ahead. You want to bring a todah, a subset of the shlamim, along with its 40 lachamim, the four different types of lachem that you bring, go ahead and do that. Aval benizirut lo yitnatvu. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally and says that people do not engage in nizirut on a voluntary basis. So they should not be called sinners, meaning that a person who engages in nizirut still ends up being a chote. Shenemar, because it says, v'chiper alav me'asher chatal anafesh. Here is the nazir has to attain kaparah, atonement, for the fact that he sinned by a soul. Now, nafesh over here refers to tumat tameh. This is talking about a nazir tameh. So a nazir tameh is called a chote. How that is moved over to a nazir tahor, the Gemara will discuss in a little bit. But let's assume now it's talking about a nazir tameh and the possibility that it's also referencing a nazir tahor as well. Now, our Mishnah that says nidvotam works for nazir and korban is obviously not authored by Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says that ksherim don't take nedrei nizirut, and they don't take nidvei nizirut. They don't voluntarily enter into a neder nizirut. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon is clearly precluded from being the author of our Mishnah, based on his position over here. So Amar Abayi, Abayi now comes and brings an equation of equivalence between Shimon HaTzadik, V'Rabbi Shimon, V'Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Kulan Shita Chathein. They are all of the same opinion. They all believe the same thing, that Nazir Chotehavi, that a Nazir is a sinner. Shimon HaTzadik, we saw yesterday's daf. Rabbi Shimon, we just saw, Adam Ran. But Rabbi Lazar HaKapar, Rabbi. So this is the famous Rabbi Lazar HaKapar that comes up in Masechet Nedarim, but also comes up in Masechet Nazir a number of times, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Lazar HaKapar, Rabbi Omer, V'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanofesh. V'chi bezo nefesh chata zeh. What type of chait, what type of nefesh are we talking about here? Ela shetzir atzmo min hayayin. But rather because he abstained from drinking wine. V'lo dvarim kal v'chomer. Mazesh lutzir atzmo ela min hayayin. This individual over here who only abstained from wine and is called the choteh, nikra choteh. Metzir atzmo mikol davar achat kama v'kama. Then certainly someone who abstains from much larger other things, if certainly so. Mikan, kol yoshe betanit nikra choteh. Person just fasts a lot, that is a person who is a choteh. Over here, it's a fundamental argument that we saw in the Gemara in Tanit about whether fasting and sigufim, bringing isurim on a person, whether that is a positive thing or is that a negative thing. It's a machloket there between Rabbi Elazar and Shmuel. Shmuel happens to be of the opinion, similar to what we say over here, that a person that is yoshev betanit is something that is negative, because just like by the Nazir, abstinence is looked upon negatively by the Torah, so too a Tanit, even though maybe for a shorter duration, but it's much more extreme in its abstinence, is also looked about negatively. Right, so obviously fasting in the context of a Tzara, or in the context of Churban HaBayit, all the fast days that we have, or Yom HaKippurim, over there those are ordained, we'll call them fasts, and those are fasts that have a specific purpose in terms of beseeching Hashem. But to voluntarily then add on top of that and to do more and more fast, that's looked on in a negative light. And it is a fundamental lemachloket, almost an approach, whether the ascetic approach to life is the proper way to go, or should one be engaged and should one enjoy the world. And really, in the time of the Rishonim, if you look at the Musar Sfarim that arise during the time of the Rishonim, the early Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Reshit Chochma, all of these different Sfarim, all talk about a very, very ascetic life of style, abstaining from anything that's physical, and really driving towards, against this position that is stated over here. And really the rise of Chassidut, later on, comes out of this type of lifestyle, or this type of view of the world, call it a darker view of the physical world, to try to bring the other side, which is the ability to engage in the world, but be makdish, that which one engages in. The Rambam is definitely along those lines a little more in terms of not abstaining from the world, not pushing oneself away from the world, and speaks about a Nazir or Nidarim in a negative light in terms of people who are trying to abstain from the physical world. So now, you have here three different opinions, and the Gemara asks a question, Vadein Kra, Benazir Tameh Ktiv. Wait a minute. The Pasuk we just quoted is written by a Nazir Tameh. So now, why is it written by a Nazir Tameh? So the Gemara answers here, Mishum Deshana Bechetu, because he doubled the Chet. So you can read this one of two ways, which is, he doubled the Chet, which means that the Nazir Tameh is the only problem over here, and he's the one who's Choteh because he has a double problem, as opposed to a Nazir Tahor, who might not have a problem at all. Or you could say the double Chet is that a Nazir Tahor has one Chet, and then the Nazir Tameh puts on top of that a second Chet. That might have to do with the girsa over here. There is a girsa that says that this piece over here is Virabonon, Hadein Kra. What did the Rabbanon do with this Pasuk? Those that disagree with the position of Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Lazar HaKapar or Shimon HaTzadik possibly, what do they do with this Pasuk? So then that might be the answer, that the reason that it's written over here is not to tell you that the Nazir is a Choteh, it's just that the Nazir Tameh is a Choteh because he is a double Chet over here. Now, what the double Chet is, you have two possibilities. One possibility is that the Chet is that he Tziratz Momin Ayayim, plus he became Tameh Meit. So not only was he Tziratz Momin Ayayim, but he also became Tameh Meit. Then the other possibility is Tziratz Momin Ayayim, and then the Chet is that now that he became Tameh, he's going to have to be Tziratz Momin Ayayim a second time. So now he has an additional period of time where he's going to have to be Tziratz Momin Ayayim, and that's the double Chet. And the last possibility is that becoming Tameh is the double Chet, which is that he had a certain duration or certain Nizirut that he intended to keep. Then he becomes Tameh. So now the double Chet is that he, first of all, became Tameh, which then ruined his Nizirut. And now he has to start his Nizirut over. And then we start to question the authenticity or the dedication or sincerity of his Neder Nizirut, and that might be the double Chet that you have over here. So depending on how you read it, it might have impact in terms of the equation that Abaye draws over here. Because Shimon HaTzadik was clearly talking about a Nazir Tameh. Because he's talking about an Asham Nazir. An Asham Nazir is only applicable by a Nazir Tameh. And that Gemara clarified yesterday, why did he focus on a Nazir Tameh versus Nazir Tahor? Because Hem Toim, Al Rishonot, they are the ones who regret taking a Neder Nizirut. On the other hand, when it comes to Rabbi Shimon here and Rabbi Lazar HaKapar, even though they quote a Pasuk by Nazir Tameh, the Gemara seems to imply that it has implications by saying here that there is a double Chet here, that it also applies to a Nazir Tahor. So some take the approach that the equation here is not an exact equation. That's what the Ran says, Lav Davko. It's not a real equation, just to say all of them believe that there is a Chet manifest in Nazir somewhere. Not that they all agree exactly where the Chet is, because Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik is only talking about a Nazir Tameh, whereas Rabbi Lazar HaKapar and Rabbi Shimon are talking about a Nazir Tameh and a Nazir Tahor. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to say it is, no, that they're all talking about a Nazir Tameh, and they're focused on Nazir Tameh, and that makes a lot of sense based on the Pasuk that Rabbi Lazar HaKapar and Rabbi Shimon quote. Then you can either use the alternate gear, so this is referencing the Rabbanan Shita, or to say the double Chet is really referencing the Nazir Tameh, because he's the one who has this double problem, and that's why it focuses on him being the Choteh. So there are those that say that that's true. It only references the Nazir Tameh, and to be honest, that in the Gemara in Nazir, it's unclear. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Lazar HaKapar a number of times. Sometimes it seems to relegate him to a Nazir Tameh, and sometimes it seems to expand it between a Nazir Tameh and a Nazir Tahor, and therefore it's almost ambiguous in the Gemara whether Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is only about a Nazir Tameh or about a Nazir Tameh and a Nazir Tahor, which obviously has implications here when you draw the equation between the different parties. Now, the Rosh takes an interesting approach. That's the approach of the Balei Tosfot over here, and the Ran, who said that it's Lav Davka, the common ground between them, just that they all mention Chet by Nazir. Then the Rosh says over here, Midikamar Alecha Markra Ish Kiafli. The fact that Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik said yesterday to that young man who took the neder nezirot and then had an asham because he became tamei and he ate from it, he said or gave him a bracha that there should be many more nezirim like you in Klal Yisrael. And the Rosh says, based on that, mashma davka kazeh ra'uy linzor nezirot, that only a guy like this should take a neder nezirot, aval kol adam lo, but not everybody else. And what the Rosh basically says is that Simon Shimon HaTzadik believes that even a nazir tahor is problematic. And what he said to the guy in the end is, people who take neder nezirot should only do it if they're like you. And therefore, then Shimon HaTzadik's position is expanded not only from a nazir tamei, but also over to a nazir tahor. If that's the case, then you can make them all consistent over here, which is that everybody thinks that a nazir is a problem, both a nazir tamei and a nazir tahor. And by doing so, then you have an equivalence that's not lav davka, but rather davka. There are different approaches to how to deal with this equation that Abaye puts together over here. Next Mishnah. Here the Mishnah is moving over to these kinuim, because as we said before, the Mishnah first explicates on the yadayim, and that's what the previous Mishnayot did. They brought us yad l'nezirut, yad l'neder, and so on. Now the Mishnayot flip over to go explicate on the kinuim. What are the kinuim that one can use, and what are the implications of that? Homer, person who uses these lishonot, konam, konach, konas. These are all replacements for the word korban. Harielu kinuim lekorban. Therefore, these act as replacement words for the word korban. So had you used in the expression of your nether, had you used the word korban, which would be a way to be matpis, to take something that is nadur, and then bring that over here to the nether, to make the chepetz also a sur, to take your nidrei sur. So korban would be a classic word to do that, because a korban is something that you're makdish, and therefore you change something that is otherwise mundane into something that's kodesh, and then you take that concept and bring it over to nidrei sur to say, this object, which is otherwise chulin, and has no implications about what I do with it, and now I make it a sur. So that would be the word korban. And kinuim, these quote-unquote nicknames, words that can replace the word korban, are konam, konach, and konas. The next series are cherek, cherech, cheref, harelu kinuim lecherem. That is nicknames for the word cherem. Cherem also, depending on where you lived, cherem has impact if it's either cherem l'Hashem or cherem l'kohanim. When you live in the Galil, then when you say the word cherem, it means cherem to Hashem. It means cherem leberek abayit. On the other hand, when you lived in Yehuda, if you said stam cherem, it went to the Kohanim. But if you said cherem shel berek abayit, then it was dedicated to Hashem. So depending on where you live, the Ran says, you would have to use the word cherem in different situations, which is, if you live in the Galil, if you use the word cherem, that works because the word cherem in the Galil means that it's kodesh leberek abayit, it's kodesh l'Hashem, and therefore that word functions by itself to do that. On the other hand, in Yehuda, the word cherem, which would normally go to the Kohanim, you would have to specify cherem leberek abayit in order to use the word cherem in this instance. The next series are nazik, naziach, paziach, harielu kinuim lenizirut. Those are words that are used to replace the word nizirut or nazir, neder nizirut. And then we have the last series of kinuim, which is shvuta, shkuka, noder bemohi, harelu kinuim lishvua. These are all replacements for the word shvua, shvuta, shkuka, noder bemohi. Now, why the word noder is placed in the middle here between the three different words that are used and then uses bemohi is a question about the interpretation of the word mohi. The Rashi over here says bimohi, kamo, momta, lishon shvua. It's basically a word in Aramaic that means shvua. So mohi or momta is the word shvua. So the reason that you put the word noder in here, as the Rosh explains, is because this works differently than the other two words. The words shvuta and shkuka are actually kinuim lishvua. On the other hand, the word mohi or momta are actually the word shvua in Aramaic. And therefore it works not as a kinui, but rather as a ikar lashon shvua. The Gemara is just telling you that these words work. That is the lashon shvua. On the other hand, the Ran takes a very different approach, as well as the Bali Atosfot bring a shita like this, which is that the word mohi refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's noder bimohi means that you take a neder b'moshe. And then we'll explain this when we get later on in the Gemara, but the word mohi, as the Ryan explains now, is kinui l'moshe, b'shvuat moshe. By the case of shvuat moshe, k'rikhtiv ayo moshe l'shevet ta'ish, Moshe agrees to stay with Yitro. And over there, the Midrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu took a shvuah, whether the shvuah was that he wouldn't leave Yitro to go back to Mitzrayim without informing him first, whether he dedicated his firstborn to Avodah Zarah, whatever it was that the Midrash says over there, but he did take a shvuah. So Bayom Moshe, Moshe took a shvuah, and therefore the word Mohi here is a kinoi to Moshe Rabbeinu. But obviously, just saying Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to generate a shvuah. So that's why it has to be noder b'moshe. He has to take a neder b'moshe Rabbeinu, means like Moshe Rabbeinu, in the way that Moshe did, and that's how you create the kinui over here. So that's how it would work according to the Ran. And that's why you have to put in the extra word noder there, because it's not similar. Mohi by itself would not work as a replacement for the word shvuah. It's only in the context of taking a neder b'mohi, using the vehicle that Moshe did, which is it creates a shvuah. Itmar. So this is a machloket that we saw at the back on Daf Gimel. Kinuim. When it comes to these words, what is the purpose or where do these words derive from that we're using as replacements for Kurban, Cherem, Nezirut, and Shvuah? B'yochan and Amar l'shonu motem. They are the language of other nations. Now, over here, the clarification about l'shonu motem is what we had said at the beginning of the Masechta, l'shonu motem, is that these are the Hebrew words that were carried over into other languages. And when they were carried over into other languages, they mispronounced the words. And the Chachamim said that those words are the word Korban, just mispronounced or misused in these other languages. I wouldn't say that Lashon HaMotem means that they are the translation of the word in the other language, because it's clear that if you take a Shvuah, a Neder, in another language, as long as you use the proper words, that's not called a Kinui. That's called a Neder B'Ikaro. Because just because you didn't say it in Hebrew doesn't make it less of a neder or less of a shvuah. Language is not a barrier in terms of taking shvuah or neder. What is a barrier is the mechanism that you use. So if you use a korban, then it works no matter what language you do it in. The mechanism needs to use korban. So whether you translate it into English, translate it into French, translate it into any other language, that's fine because the word korban is being used. On the other hand, when you're talking about the words here of konam, konach, konas, those are not translations of the word korban. They are the word korban, but misused or mispronounced in other languages. So a sort of import of a foreign word into the language, and we give examples of this where you import foreign words and mispronounce the foreign words. Even though you're using it from another language, you don't spell it or you don't pronounce it the same way that the other language does. Now, obviously, these have to be languages that they were familiar with, which is, these were languages that were spoken around them, and therefore they knew about these. That would imply that you could extrapolate this to other languages, which is that Korban, if it was taken in or absorbed into another language and mispronounced there, then that would be equally good as a kinoi. That's one way to look at it. The other possibility is, no, that these are the lishonot that the Chachamim agreed have this meaning, and we're not going to extend it to other languages because these were languages that were close enough to Hebrew or in proximity to the spoken language of Hebrew, and therefore they borrowed the word and we would assume that it's good. But languages that are further away, we would not agree that the word, even if it was imported, would be sufficient to use it in that manner. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says, Lashon shebadu lahem chachamim liot nuner bo. These are words made up by the chachamim in order to take nidarim. Again, we know that the Chachamim were not necessarily positively disposed to people taking Nidarim, but in the end, they knew people were taking Nidarim. So if people are taking Nidarim, they want them to use this as the vehicle, and we'll see why in a second. B'cheinu Omer, B'chodesh asher badam libo. Talking about Yeruvam, when he changes the calendar and makes up a new holiday in order to prevent the northern kingdom from coming down to Yerushalayim to go to the Regel in Yehuda, because that would, in a sense, undermine his kingdom or undermine his rulership, because they have to always go back to the religious center that's under the dominion of Yehuda. And by definition, that would give a certain amount of samchut to the king of Yehuda because he sat at the religious center. So he has to create a new religious center and a new holiday. So Asher Badab means to make up. And therefore the Gemara is bringing a proof to the word Badu. The truth is that that's unusual in a Gemara to do something like that. The Chachamim don't need, in this sense, proof to why they're using the word Badu. And the word Badu seems to be well known or explained that it means to make up. The Shita Mekubetz actually over here says that this was added in later. And it's not a part of the Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't need a proof like this. It was written in and added later just to explain the word Badu, but it's not part of the Gemara itself. B'taimamai, Takinu Rabbanan Kinuim. Once you subscribe to Reish Lakish's opinion, what's the reason behind these Kinuim? Why did the Rabbanan not want you to use the word Korban or Cherem? Delo Leima Korban, because they didn't want you to say Korban. Veleima Korban. What's wrong with saying the word Korban? Dilma Amar Korban Lashem. Because maybe you'll say that it's a Korban Lashem. Veleima Korban Lashem. What's the problem with saying Korban Lashem? Dilma Amar Lashem, Velo Amar Korban. So maybe he'll say Lashem, and he won't have the prefix of Korban, and that would be a problem. Become a big Shem Shemayim in the Vatala. And then he's expressing the Shem Shemayim for no reason. Now whether that means that the Vatala, in terms of, he'll say the word Hashem, and then regret that he wanted to take a nether and stop there, and that's why we have a Shem Shemayim Levatala, or because he's going to take the nether with the Shem Hashem, and then possibly violate the nether, maybe that's a more severe, extreme violation of a nether, a Shvua, when you add in the Shem Hashem. So we don't want people putting in the Shem Hashem, so we're going to take away words that are normally associated with the word Hashem. So the word Korban normally is associated with the word Lashem. So since it's associated with Lashem, we want to take away that connection, or more importantly, we want to stop you from using that word, because that word automatically parlays into Lashem. So once we do that, we give you alternatives. You're not going to automatically use the Shem Hashem by taking the Darim in this way. So that's what they did. They said use Konach, Konam, or Konas instead of the word Korban, because then you wouldn't automatically say Lashem. It's interesting about this Gemara is that on Yom HaKippurim, in the second Yoma, there the Kohen Gadol, when he is doing the Goralot, he says one's Lashem Chatat, and the other one is Lazazel. The one that he dedicates, he says Lashem or Lashem Chatat. So he does use the Shem Hashem first and then put the Chatat afterwards. So how come over there it's permissible and over here it's not permissible? And others note that by Boaz, when he greets the workers, when they're coming towards him, he says, Hashem Yimachem, and they say back to him, Yivarechcha Hashem. But also again, there he led with the Shem Hashem, Hashem Yimachem. Why is he leading with the Shem Hashem? If the Gemara over here thinks that leading with the Shem Hashem is risky because people might renege or regret what they said and then just say the Shem Hashem. So you could argue in both of those cases, there's no issue of regret. When it comes to the Hashem Chatat by the Goral on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol is not going to regret making that into the Lashem. There's nothing to change his mind about. He's got to have two Kvasim. One of them's got to end up Lashem, and one of them's got to end up Lazazel. So the fact that he says Lashem Chatat, that's not going to change anything. The same thing with Boaz. When he says Hashem Yimachem, there's nothing for him to change his mind about. He's greeting somebody. It's not something that has impact or long-ranging commitments to it. Just simply a greeting. And therefore, Hashem Yimachem, he's not going to regret it. The other possibility, also by the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, is that over there, all he has to say is Lashem. He doesn't even have to say Lashem Chatat. That was a nicer way to say it. But even if he just says Lashem, it's sufficient. So therefore, even if he just finished off with Lashem, it would have been sufficient. And therefore, there's no problem here of misguidance or doing it improperly. Or you could argue there again that it's a Kohen or a Kohen Gadol who has Rizimim. And therefore, that's not an issue because they take care not to misuse the Shem Hashem and you won't have that problem. The Ran and the Tosafot over here ask from the word Cherem, don't you have the same problem with the word Cherem? Because as far as the people of Yehuda are concerned, not enough to say Cherem because for them, Stam Charamim go to the Kohanim. So in order to engage a Cherem that would work by Neder, you would have to say Cherem the Berek Abayit or Cherem Lashem. So how come the Gemara over here doesn't mention that Cherem is a problem for the people of Yehuda? Because then you would have to say, even with the Kinoi, if the words here are replacing the word Cherem, then you would have to say Cherech Lashem, or Cherek Lashem. And you haven't solved the problem that you were trying to get rid of. So what the Ron says is in the end that the word cherek, cherek and heref are only used in the context of cherem that works by a neder. And cherem that works by a neder for the people of the Galil is the plain word cherem. For the people of Yehudah, it replaces cherem Lashem. It replaces the whole phrase. And you no longer have to say Lashem. Because cherek or cheref have built into them the cherem Lashem. Because that's the whole intent of the Chachamim to replace those words. That's one possible answer. The other answer is, there you could say cherem Lashem, or you can say cherem lebedek abayit. So what they wanted you to do was use bedek abayit instead of Lashem. How do they do that? Instead of using the word cherem, which in the Torah is followed by Lashem and would be associated with each other, you use the different word of cherek, cherek, or cherek, and that would lead you to say lebedek abayit instead of Lashem. So you see that in the Ran dealing with trying to solve that problem with regards to the people of Yehudah using the word cherem Lashem, right? V'tanyo, we have a brighter, Rabbi Shimon Omer, minayin shelo yomar adam Lashem ola, Lashem mincha, Lashem toda, Lashem shlamim. Where do we find that there is such a restriction or that it's not a good idea to use the Lashem first? Tamad Omar, korban Lashem. It says that it should be a korban to Hashem. V'chal v'chomer, ma zeh shelo nitkaven el azkir shem shamayim ela korban. Over there, where the person is clearly only using the Shem Hashem associated with a Korban, we tell you, Omra Torah, Korban Hashem. The Torah specifies to put the Shem Hashem after the Korban. Levatala, Achat Kama V'Kama. Certainly when you're doing it, and it's going to turn out to be for naught, then certainly you should move the Shem Hashem to afterwards. Meaning if you're using it for Nidarim and Shvuot, and these other purposes that are not always so positive, or that you might have regrets about, then certainly over there, the Shem Hashem should follow whatever statement that you're making and not precede the statement you're making. And that's what led to this institution or introduction of Kinuim. Again, the Chachamim recognizing that people are taking the Darim and Shavuot, and they want to then manage that problem. So not that they're condoning it necessarily, but they're just saying, if people are going to do this, let's at least give them a prescription that will end up in a better situation than having problems with the Shem Shemayim and the Vatala. Now the Gemara says, Lema Kitanae. Let us say that this issue is a machloket Tanaim as to whether it's Kinuyim or whether it's Lashon Umot. Because Beit Shemai Omrim, Kinuye Kinuyim Asurim. Derivatives of these, whether it's slang or nicknames or made up words, are Asurim. Beit Hillel Omrim, Kinuye Kinuyim Mutarim. That they are fine and they do not have, fine here means that they don't work as a neder, they don't work as a shbuah. My love, Mandamar Kinuye Kinuyim Asurim, Beit Shemayu says that even derivatives are Asurim, Kasavar Kinuyim Lashon Umotim. He must hold that Kinuyim are Lashon of the languages of other nations. Because if you believe that these are languages invented by the Chachamim, then these languages in particular are the ones that can be utilized. Nothing else has any meaning. These words themselves have no meaning. It's just the Chachamim introduced these words. To say a derivative of these words has meaning makes no sense because they're already made up words. On the other hand, when you're talking about other languages, so say that the other language took the word korban and then they mispronounce it, they misuse it in a sense, but it's there, it exists in the language. So now a derivative of that, a second derivative of that might also mean korban. Whether that means within that language itself, they have a derivative of it. Or another language borrowed the word from this language. So, for instance, if you have a French word that enters into the English language, and then Hebrew picks up that word from English, that would be a kinuye kinuyim. It's a second derivative of the original word that comes out of French. So the same thing over here. This is the Hebrew word korban, ends up in a different language as konam, and then another language picks it up and says that it's not konam, but it's kinam, or whatever it is that they change. That's a second derivative. So that can make sense, that it's still the same word, it's just being changed or mispronounced even more as it moves through different languages. So that would be the position of Beit Shammai. Ulamandamar mutarim, according to Beit Hillel, kasavar lashon shebadu lehem chachamim. They believe that it's lashon shebadu lehem chachamim, and therefore kinuye kinuyim have no relevance whatsoever. Because these aren't the words that the chachamim designated. It says, lo, the kuliyama kinuye lashon umotim. Everybody holds, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the Lishonot here are Lishonot Moltaim. We pass them like Rabbi Yochanan, so that's why the Gemara is trying to establish Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai according to Rabbi Yochanan. Beit Shammai, Savre, Behani, Nami, Mishtai, Umot. Beit Shammai says the other nations use these words. Beit Hillel, Savre, Behani, Lo, Mishtai, Umot. The other nations do not use these words. Now, you could argue simply that this is a machloket in Mitziut, although that seems unlikely that they were arguing about whether these words were in use or not in use. Or you could suggest that what does it mean that they were in use or not in use, which is whether these words are really derivatives of the original word, or they're not derivatives of the original word, or the other possibility is, are these languages already just too far away, where the association with the original word is just too far, and it's not going to be recognizable if you utilize it in that way? Others say that everybody agrees they are mutar, it's just a gzeira otu, that kinuye kinuyim is a gzeira because of kinuyim, and therefore we go to hachmir by nidarim. And Beklal believes that we do not engage such a gzeira. And again, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan and Aliba de Beit Hillel, and therefore kinuye kinuyim are mutarim. Hechidami kinuye kinuyim dinidarim. What is this case of kinuye kinuyim by nidarim? It's an interesting question, because that means the Gemara now is exploring the position of Beit Shammai. Usually if the Gemara does that, it's because they think the halacha is in that direction. But we know when it comes to Machlokes Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai that the halacha is like Beit Hillel. So why the Gemara is exploring this? It could be because the Gemara in some times, on rarer occasions, does explore the opinion that is not the halacha. The other possibility is because they're trying to tell you that these words are classified as kinuye kinuim and not kinuim. So therefore, they're distinguishing between words that do qualify as kinuim versus words that do not qualify as kinuim, and that would have relevance even according to Beit Hillel. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef tells us that what are these kinuye kinuim? Mikanamna, mikanachna, and mikanasna are words that are kinuye kinuim. It goes from the word konam, right? Konach, konas. And now they have been changed again to this other language, and that's kinuye kinuim. Hechidami kinuye kinuim decherem. So what about this chenim? Tani Mafsha'a, who's a chacham, he says, charakim, charachim, charafim, which are obviously taken from cherek, cherech, and cherech. Kinuye kinuim denizirut, Tani Rav Yosef, again Rav Yosef gives us examples of michaz kna, minna zanchna, ma pichna, that each of these words are, again, words that are similar to the words of Nizirut that we mentioned in the Mishnah, but another derivative or step away of mispronunciation or changing of the word. Iba Eluhu. What about these words? Mif chazna mai. Mit chazna mai. Mit azna mai. If you utilize any of these words, what is the din? The Gemara does not answer. Amalei Ravina the Ravashi. Kinma mai. What is the din with regards to this word kinma? Konam kamar? When he says kinma, he really means konam. Odilma kinamon besem. He's talking about the cinnamon or the spices that are mentioned in the Torah. Kamar. Amalei Ravacha, Brei the Ravashi. Kinamai. Again, what's the usage of the word kina? Kina shel tarnagolim. He's talking about a chicken coop. Kamar. Odilma lashong de konam. Maybe over here it's Lashon Konam. The Gemara ends here with Tibaye. As we saw earlier, Tosafot says that the word Tibaye in Masechet Nedarim means Teiku, but Lashon Nedarim is Mishuneh. So the Gemara leaves this as a Teiku, again, seemingly to all the questions that we presented over here, that they just don't know what these Lashonot are. Kinei Kinuyim Dishvua. In a case where you have these double derivatives in Shvua, Echidami, what's the case? Shvuel. Shvutiel. Shkukael. So Gemara says, Shvuel? Shvuel can't be Kinuye Kinuyim. Shvuel ben Gershom Mashma. That's a name. Obviously, in their time, it was a common name that was used. And therefore, there'd be the equivalent of saying David or Fred. I mean, if you use the name, why would that be a Kinuye or Kinuye Kinuyim? These are proper nouns. So Gemara says, Ela Shvuvael. Shvut El or Shkuka El. So in that case, you have these again, Kinuye Kinuyim. Now, most likely the girsa here does not involve mahu. What is the din? Because the Gemara doesn't need to know what the din is. The Gemara is giving you examples of kinuye kinuim. And it's not asking you whether they work. These were like the original statements that they asked by Korban, by Cherem. What are these kinuye kinuim? So too over here. Amar Shmuel. Amar ashivta lo amar klum. Use the word ashivta as a Kinoi for Shvua, he didn't do anything. Ashkika lo amar klum. If you use Ashkika, it doesn't work either. And Karishna lo amar klum. So he gives a number of words or languages that have no meaning, or either because they are Kinuei Kinuim, or because they're not even Kinuei Kinuim. These are words that might seem like they are similar to the words that are given as Kinuim, but they certainly do not function in that way. Nadar b'moi arielu Kinuim. So that was what we said at the end of the Mishnah. Now we have Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Omer b'moi lo amar klum. B'momata damar moi arielu Kinuim l'shvua. So now, there are a number of questions here. First of all, is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel arguing on our Mishnah? Seemingly, yes. And he's saying that the word b'moi doesn't work in our Mishnah. And he offers up an alternative of how it does work. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he's coming to explain our Mishnah. What is neder b'moi? He's explaining to you what that means, which is b'momata, that you're using the word momata. That also leads to a machloket that we saw earlier about exactly what the mohi does. According to Rashi and the Rosh, we saw that the word mohi is just a replacement for the word shvua. It was another way to say shvua, but just translated into Aramaic. And therefore, what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says is, b'mohi doesn't work, lo amar klum, that doesn't do anything, but b'momata, damar mohi, harielu kinuim l'shvua. So here you would have an additional or change in the girsa, which would say that the b'mohi and b'momata don't work, but rather mohi and momata do work. And the problem here is the bet that leads into it, and that's what's causing the issue, which is that you can't say b'mohi or b'momata. You have to say momata or mohi, and that's what works. And the addition of the bet, well, the Tosafot and the Rosh say that it looks like it becomes a part of the shoresh of the word, and that's what the problem is, because there's no such word as b'mohi or b'momata. So therefore, they want you to drop the bet in order to get the mohi or momata that would work in this instance. That's one way to interpret it, and that would be probably along the lines of what Rashi and the Rosh were explaining, that the word mohi or momata are replacements for the word shvua, and therefore, if you put in the leading bet, it doesn't work. And that the Ran brings down, that is one possibility of an explanation. The other possibility is following the Ran himself, Shita, who thinks that the word Mohi refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, a person says, Homer bim Mohi lo amar klom. You say, with Moshe, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. If you say, bim momata damar Mohi, the shvua that Moshe said, then you have a kinui the shvua. And that's why in the Mishnah it said, in a sense, noder bim Mohi. So if you're noder bim Moshe, that doesn't help you. You have to, you're noder bishvua shamar Moshe. And he's just explaining, whether he's arguing or explaining what the Mishnah meant, he's saying that you have to have a little more language in here to explain what the Mohi is. Because b'moshe by itself is not sufficient to be a shvua. You have to explain that you're trying to take a shvua the way that Moshe did, or you're trying to take a neder in the way that Moshe did. Okay, we'll stop over here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet.